sandwich first?
No, thanks, Ada.
Like a plum?
No.
It's a seaside roll.
Ada, please, don't remind me. It was the worst holiday we've had for years.
You're telling me. I never had me itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini out of the cellophane once. I'll be glad to get home.
Ada, quick, look out of the carriage window.
Mummy, Bert, what is it? You've seen a ghost or something?
No, look, quick, up there in the sky. That big round thing.
Oh, Bert, the sun's come out.
That is an excerpt from Suddenly Last Summer. Yes, each week at this time, we shall be bringing you a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those with patience and understanding, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are patience and understanding, Right Honourable Hugh Wendersley Skeets Maltrafont, Miss Roseanne Crown, the First Aid Society's adhesive band, Widgley Clack, Miss Deirdre Dividend.
She's very cooperative.
To continue, Traffic Warden Sir Geoffrey Gore Witherspoon, Capuchin Rowbottom, and of course Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the first in a new series of Beyond Our Ken. Well, here we are again, much the same as usual, except that our producer has been influenced by Alfred Hitchcock, and he's asked me to tell listeners that no one, but no one, will be allowed to tune in after the program has started. Matter of fact, it's rather a proud moment for me. We've actually done something like 60 shows altogether, and for those who are interested in statistics, they might like to know one or two facts. For instance, so far, we've cracked 32,600 gags. We've got 27 laughs. The producer has used 21 blue pencils. Betty Marsden has appeared in 17 different ensembles. And Kenneth Williams has worn one suit.
Oh, charming. Yes, well, I'll give you another statistic, too. Kenneth Horne hasn't had to have his hair cut once.
All right, that's enough statistics. Well, now let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. Well, there were holidays, of course. Actually, I've been to Cornwall for 3 years running. So this year I decided to go by train. Of course, the weather wasn't very kind, but then even abroad it hasn't been good. Some friends of mine went to Aix-les-Bains. They were telling me it rained so much you only had to go out in the street to have a bath, and they came home with lots of aches. However, one of the most important happenings for me was that I decided to buy a new house. Well, there were all sorts of reasons. I felt like a change of neighborhood. I'd always wanted a nice house in a select district. And apart from that, I'd been evicted. Well, anyway, one morning I went around to see that old established firm of estate agents, Arthur Figley and Son. Oh, good morning. Arthur Figley?
No, I'm Hilda Potter.
Oh, I see, but this is Arthur Figley's.
No, that's right, yes. I'm his amanuensis.
Oh, are you?
Yes. I'm also the woodworm expert. Do sit down.
Thank you.
Sorry, I should have mentioned it before. That chair's got a touch of it. Now, I take it you want to see Mr. Figley. And the name, sir?
The name Horn, Kenneth Horn.
Oh, yes. Mr. Horn. Mr. Figley and his son have often spoken about you.
Oh, really? What did they say?
I don't know. They always send me out of the room first.
Well, I'd like to see him anyway.
Very well. Just a moment. Hello, Mr. Figley. There's a gentleman to see you. How would I describe him? Oh, large, spacious, well-built, somewhat detached, semi-furnished on top and in good condition. Here. The name's Kenneth Horne. Very good, Mr. Figley. You may go in, sir.
Oh, thank you, Miss Potter. That's a rather old-fashioned speaking tube. Does Figley sound far away?
No, no, he's only 2 mins from the tube. Going in, sir?
Yes. That one should have gone out, shouldn't it? Goodbye, Miss Potter. Goodbye. Ah, morning, Figley.
Morning, Mr. Hall. Nice to have you, Merriman. I'm on the phone. Hello? Mr. McCrae, so that offer for the house in Kingsley Road, I'm afraid it's fallen through. No, it's the house that's fallen through. Yes, well, the soil was a bit soft and it slipped halfway down. Right, goodbye. Norman?
Yes, Dad?
Make a change in the particulars for number 10 Kingsley Road. It's got a sunken living room now.
All right, Dad. Here, we'd better alter the price, though. After all, we was asking 5,000.
All right, make it 6,000. Now then, Mr. Orne, can I interest you in a nice property?
Well, yes, Sigler, that's why I'm here.
Well, let's see. You wouldn't like to buy a barber's shop, I suppose?
Well, no, thank you.
Pity, it's a snip.
Anyway, what makes you think I'm looking for a business?
I heard your last radio series.
Sigler.
I want to buy
a nice residential property.
A bungalow?
No, a house.
Oh, well, that's another story. I think I've got the very thing for you.
It's not 10 Kingsley Road, is it?
Oh, good gracious, no. No flies on you, is there, eh? You heard me, didn't you? I wouldn't dream of selling you a place like that. Well, I've got a very nice, classy residence in the Finchley Garden suburb. Oh, it's a most lugubrious neighborhood.
Surely you mean salubrious?
No, there's nothing like that goes on there. That's sought after area, you know. Lady Grangeforth, she had a big house there.
Well kept?
Well, I've heard, yes, she... Yes. All the property's well cared for. The people are very select. You won't see any lines of washing hanging out in the suburb.
No washing?
No, very select people, even if they do wear filthy clothes.
what's the house like?
Norm, bring details of Monry Paul's Larches Road.
Here we are, Mr. Horn.
Oh, thank you. Now, let's just see, shall we? No, 4 bedrooms, mm-hmm. 2 intercommunicating kits, bath, and... Good gracious, a swimming pool.
What the delightful features of the place.
But isn't it rather unusual to have an indoor swimming pool?
Oh, not really. The damp course doesn't work.
Norman, I'm your father, am I not?
Yes, sir.
And I'm the head of this firm, am I not?
Yes, sir.
And you are a junior partner, are you not?
Yes, sir.
Then can you remember, I do the punny line.
Excuse me, Mr. Sidney.
Oh, yes. Come in, my dear. Mr. Orne, I'd like you to meet Miss Janet Waters.
Oh, hello.
How'd you do?
One of my more reliable colleagues.
Oh, really, Surveyor?
Given half the chance, I would.
I mean, is she qualified?
Oh, rather. She's an FRICF and an FRIBA.
Yes, she's also a nice bit of STUFF, isn't she? I don't suppose she sings by any remote chance.
Oh, I don't know if she knows that one, but she does sing. Would you like to hear her?
Well, I certainly would.
Right. Miss Potter, you know that vacant lot down the road? Well, send them in here, will you?
That's not the variety orchestra conducted by Paul Fenley, is it?
However did you get, Mr. Orne?
Well, I think I know this show by now. Sing, Janet.
You and the night and the music fill me with flaming desire, setting my being completely on fire. You and the night and the music thrill me, but will we be one?
Jolly nice, Janet, and don't worry too much about being an architect and surveyor. You'll be something quite different next week.
Oh, all right. Bye.
Bye. Well, now, Figley, about the property. Can I see the house?
On a clear day, yes. I didn't really mean that, Mr. Owen. I just said it to get a laugh.
What happened then?
My son Noam, he's got the keys. He'll show you over the place.
Oh, good.
And if you'll just look out of the lounge window, you'll find a very lovely view of Hampstead Heath. I'll open the window. Now, Mr. Owen, you just listen to the birds.
Ah, he's
probably a lark, I should think. Let's go upstairs, shall we?
Right, follow me. By the way, Mr. Owen, there is one thing I ought to point out. Mr. Horn! Mr. Horn! Where are you?
I'm in the cupboard under the stairs!
Can you hear me?
Yes, what is it?
The ninth stair is missing.
Oh, thank you. I'll remember in future.
Well, come on, there's lots more to see. Now, Mr. Horn, here is the main bedroom.
Yes, this is a nice room, but, well, that floor doesn't look too safe.
Oh, it's as safe as houses, Mr. Horn. Now, cast your eyes round and you'll just have to admit this is a very, very lovely... lounge.
Well, I'm telling you, Figley, there isn't a flaw in it.
Of course there isn't a flaw in it. I told you the house is perfect.
Look... there's nothing between the roof and the foundation.
You're in luck, then. It's the latest thing, the new open plan living.
all right, Bigley. How much is this house?
Well, we were asking £10,000 or near offer.
£2,000.
£3,000.
£2,500. Well, now, to those of you who've been through the procedure of buying a house, you'll know that this is only the beginning of the problems ahead. First of all, there was my bank manager who said, "Of course we'll agree to a loan, Mr. Horn, providing you can satisfy us that you don't really need it." Then there was that never-to-be-forgotten visit to the solicitor.
Mr. Horn, do come in.
Gimble, Dunkerton, Sim, Thwaite, Chorley, Havershed, and Cradlewick?
Yes.
Which are you?
Smith. And do have a seat.
Thank you.
Ah! Not there, Mr. Horn. I advise you not to sit on the couch. It has, as we illegal men say, a slight structural defect in its fundamental congranulation.
What does that mean?
You've got a wobbly leg. And should you sit there on, it's possible you could cause yourself some sort of mischief to your person. And you don't want to get involved in the long, costly legal battle with us now, do you?
Of course not.
Then I advise you to sit on the chair.
Right.
You're an astute man, Mr. Horn. 5 guineas well spent.
5 guineas?
Professional advice. I told you. Did I not? Not to sit on the couch.
That amounts to a fraudulent...
Careful. That could be a malicious statement.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's better. Now, Mr. Horn, here's a copy of the lease of the property. You'll just peruse it. You'll find it all quite straightforward.
Thank you. Now, let's see. Here in article, the lessor, which expression shall admit the successors and the assigns of the one part, aforesaid delineated to the messuages of the tenements. Messuages? I'm sorry, I'm not getting the messuage.
It's perfectly simple. Messuage means a dwelling house. It's a very old English word. Beg your pardon, Mr. Horn. What did you say?
Oh, nothing. Just another very old English word. let's see now. That's a contiguous of the premises, demised in hereby, heretofore, accordingly. Yes, yes, good, good. That seems to be in order.
You just say that you understand it all?
Yes, perfectly.
Oh, good. Well, then when we meet again, say, in a fortnight's time,
yes?
Perhaps you'll explain it to me. Smith? Yes, Mr. Gimble. Of course I should be delighted. Well, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Hall, Mr. Gimble wants to have a drink with him. Goodbye.
And at that point, he was called to the bar. However, things gradually sorted themselves out, and some 4 months later, I moved into my new house on the Finchstead Garden suburb. Well, Prudence, what do you think of it?
Oh, it's lovely, sir.
Yes, I think I'll be very happy here. It's all so tranquil.
It's quiet and peaceful as well.
Yes. And one thing I shan't be disturbed up here.
Oh, look, sir, there's your next door neighbor coming out. I think it's time to get friendly.
Well, I may as well get acquainted. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, too.
Oh, no.
Here I say, can I borrow your lawnmower?
Prudence. Get Arthur Figley on the phone.
Right, sir.
Tell him I'm thinking of moving. And now I can strongly recommend a very desirable property to whom we're very attached, the Hornet.
And so to the Kenneth Horn documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horn and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on the Olympic Games. Was the outcome influenced by the heat and sun of Rome?
And if so, were our athletes browned off? Well, now, first of all, let's have a word with the gentleman who attended the Olympic Games. You were actually there, sir.
That is so, yes. I was present in the capacity of a spectator.
You went all that way to support our team?
I did, most certainly, yes. I was a most enthusiastic supporter. I stood up in the stand and I shouted out, "Come on, the British contestants, show us your faces. Show them the British possess superiority. Every success, lads and lasses." I thought it would spur them on.
Yes. And did it?
Unfortunately, no. You see, after the first day, the Olympics committee had me forcibly removed from the stadium.
Oh, why was that?
I doused the Olympic flames.
So you were put out as well. Well, bad luck, Mr. Burgerjohn. Well, now, many excuses were made for the failures of some of our athletes. Now, you, sir. Now, you came in last in the 1,500 meters. Why?
Well, it was such a lovely day, I decided to walk.
And here's a very charming member of the British contingent. Madam, how did you get on at the games?
Awfully well. You see, there was this handsome American hurdler.
No. I meant in your particular event, swimming, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. You see, well, I'm afraid I was disqualified because of my swimming costume. You see, I was wearing a bikini.
A bikini? Oh, I see. That's short for bikini.
Yes. That's what the judge said.
What a pity. Still, I'm sure we'll be seeing more of you. However, let us consider the important accusation made that the British team did not have enough time to get acclimatized. For an opinion on that, let's ask one of our leading athletes. Good evening, sir. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. Good evening to you. Thank you. Please.
Good. Now, well, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Well, sir, what are your feelings in this matter?
I have very definite views about it, sir. It was absolute madness to arrive in Rome only 2 days before the games. None of us had a chance to get acclimatized.
I see.
No good, no.
And how long do you think you should have been there?
35 years.
How long?
35 years.
Silly, it didn't seem to affect you. I mean, it's a remarkable achievement to win a gold medal at your age.
Yes.
You really must have had the will to win.
Yes. No, it wasn't that.
Well, what was it then?
Well, the starter shot me in the foot.
Well, there were indeed several outstanding successes for the British in this Olympiad. Several outstanding successes for the British, but for the most part, it was a failure. Now, why? Why? As I was saying, why and what went wrong? Well, one theory advanced by team managers was that the athletes broke training and were living it up. Now, was this really true?
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. I say, you look a bit rough. Just look at those Olympic rings under your eyes. You've obviously been living it up.
I have not, Rodney.
Oh, yes, we have. I watched you burning a Roman candle at both ends.
That is simply not true,
Rodney. No. What about you and that shot put champion, Madame Tamarova?
Nonsense, Rodney. Can't stand her. She's always throwing her weight about.
Well, you are an athletic rag. Yes. There must be some good reason why you did so badly this morning. I mean, our 28 competitors, it was staring lost.
But it wasn't my fault.
Stuffing yourself with spaghetti bolognese, I said.
I was not.
Well, it was pretty pitiable, wasn't it? You got a good start and going well up to the halfway, and then you suddenly stopped dead. Why, Charles?
I couldn't help it.
What happened?
Well, the egg fell off my spoon.
One thing that will certainly be remembered about the Olympic Games was the brilliant and exclusive coverage made by the BBC. However, many of you who followed this may have missed the inimitable report made by our own commentator. Yes, we sent Cecil Snaith to the Olympic Games.
Hello there. Well, listeners, this is Cecil Snaith speaking to you from the stadium in Rome, magnificent venue of the 17th Olympiad. So far, only one minor incident has marred this Olympiad, when yesterday one competitor was stepped on with spiked running shoes, and what Olympiad. Well, I'm standing now in the midst of the various field events which are going on all around me. Over there, the heats of the hammer throwing, just in front, the long jump final. Over there, the discus. And behind me, the javelin throwing. Well, now, I can see that the discus is about to be thrown by Niki Draskia Vinaskoof, the British competitor. And it's a good throw. I should imagine it's something like a 160...
Watch out for that javelin!
It's only inches short of... This is Cecil Snaith, gold medalist in the long jump, returning you to the studio.
Well, success or failure, no doubt, discussions on the 1960 Olympiad will go on for some time. But let us now look forward into the future. Already plans have been laid for the next Olympic Games to be held in Japan in 1964. And already in certain British homes, extensive preparations are being made.
Come on, Felicity, get a move on. Salt, mustard, vinegar, pepper. Good. Now I can have me supper.
What about me, Ambrose?
You can have a glucose tablet and an arrowroot biscuit later on.
Oh, Ambrose!
Don't argue. And while I'm eating, carry on with your skipping.
But Ambrose, I've been at it all day. I'm exhausted.
No stamina, that's your trouble, you old faggot. And after skipping, we'll have a bit of weight lifting.
Oh, no, my dear.
Then twice round the backyard at full stretch. 30 knees bends, running on the spot for 20 minutes, and 3 back somersaults.
No, Ambrose, I refuse to do all this. It's quite ridiculous.
Look, do you want to go to the Olympic Games in Japan?
Yes, of course I do, my darling.
What do you mean?
Well, after all, Ambrose, we're only going there to watch.
Well, there you are. There'll be another Horn Rama next week when the subject will be timber merchants. Do they ever give you a raw deal? Also, in next week's program, Emlyn Williams will be giving us some more readings from the works of Lionel Bart. There'll be a talk given by a man with only 2 front teeth on central eating. And there'll be an excerpt from the new film starring Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers called The Joyce and Lionel Blair Story. That's all for now. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now, leaving you with this thought from a listener. When the Chancellor's wife does him a good turn, does he give her a credit squeeze? Good night.